First John chapter 4 this morning. First John chapter 4. And going to be looking at a verse that we are very familiar with. But perhaps we're not familiar with the context of that verse. And a verse that I've used many, many times. I should turn my microphone off.
Now I'm back on. All right.
A verse that I've used many, many times in other sermons. And I've preached on this verse a couple of times. But I think it's important as we look at it. And by the way, those sermons weren't wrong or anything. I'm not saying that. Because we ought to not be bound by fear. Amen. And the verse that we're going to look at in 1 John 4 is perfect love casts out fear. And a wonderful verse, a wonderful truth. But I don't know if you ever read the context of the verses before it and after it. And that's what we're going to look at today because it's a very powerful truth. I love the Word of God because that truth is powerful. But as we look at the verses around it, it becomes even more powerful as we look at that. And we live in a world of fear and anxiety. Unknowns around every corner. What's going to happen in the world, around the world? What's going to happen in the Middle East? What's going to happen in Russia and Ukraine? What's going to happen with the economy? Is the housing market going to crash? You know, what's going to happen in the election? You know, are we going to have a country next year? You know, we can get worked up about some things, right? Especially if you watch the news. And that's intentional, by the way, to get you all anxious and everything. And you know, you watch some of these things, and what's the next advertisement? Invest in gold, right? Invest in gold. You know, get it out of the stock market. Put it in the gold standard. You know, do those things and all of that, all of those things. And a lot of those things, because fear sells. Fear motivates people to do things. And is that how God wants us to live our life, motivated by fear of what's going to happen around the next corner, to be motivated by fear of what's going to happen in our life, what's going to happen with our children? Is that what God wants us to do with our life? Does he want to drive us along by fear? No, he doesn't. And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at today, because God's real for us is real and vibrant. And our love for him should be, it ought to be, and is real and vibrant. It will, and if it is real and vibrant, our love for him, it will create something wonderful. We're 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15 this morning. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, as you're physically able. 1 John 4, beginning verse number 15, down to verse number 19. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. So this morning, let's take a look at a message of confidence in God's love. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray your blessing this morning. Oh Lord, you love us so much. As Romans tells us, that your love for us cannot be measured. It cannot be limited. It cannot be, we cannot be separated from it, Lord. And I pray this morning that we would live perfected, completed, confident in that love that you have for us. I pray your blessing. Pray that you guide me in the preaching this morning. Give me the words to say. And Lord, that thy Spirit would minister to every heart today. And encourage us, Lord. Give us that confidence that we need to live for you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. You look at the world we live in, it can be a scary place. Can be a place of what, I don't know what to do. What, especially if you have children, if you have young children, you know, constantly thinking, what in the world are my children going to face? What we're facing today is going to be multiplied exponentially worse in the coming years, you know. And, you know, some people say, well, I don't want to have children because of all the things that are going on. And I'd say this, the world's always been wicked. But it's still possible to raise a generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still possible. It just makes it more a bigger responsibility for the parents. That's all. And to protect and to have your home be a bastion of the gospel and of God's truth. But this morning, where fear comes in, fear is an uncertainty. Fear is of something that you believe bad is going to happen, or many times fear is the possibility, not the reality, the possibility that something bad is going to happen, something negative, something hurtful. Remember what I said, not the reality, but the possibility. And we talked about faith this morning in Sunday school. If you weren't here this morning for Sunday school, I encourage you, we're going to get that online. Go back and listen to that because we're building off of that this morning. What our faith is, are we confident 100% settled in our faith, settled in our salvation, settled in those things? If we are, we ought to also have faith in this simple fact that God loves us. Amen. That God cares for us. Verse 16 says here, "For we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." We know it, we see it, we acknowledge it, and we have faith in it. We believe, we live in this reality that all that goes on, by the way, this reality will bring you through so many trials and hardships in your life that when something, a tragedy happens, you must have confidence and believe God still loves me. Amen. When you lose your job, God still loves me. When you're given a health diagnosis, God still loves me. Because the devil, his number one job is to get you to doubt that God loves you. That's what he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. God doesn't really love you. He doesn't want what's best for you. He's holding out on you. He's going, won't give you the very, very best. I can give you something better. And that's a lie. It's not true. First John 4:2, verse couple verses back. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Amen. Anyone that denies the Lord Jesus Christ is from the devil. That's just it. If they deny Christ. Isaiah 64:4, "For since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." How do we know God loves us? We perceive it, we understand it, we see it in the one aspect of Christ's sacrificial death for us. That shows and proves the love that God has for us. And because of that, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We have to love our brother and sister in Christ, lay down our lives for them. We know God's love if we have received God's gift of salvation. But God commendeth his love toward us, and in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. These are just a few verses. There are many, 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 many more. How many verses do you need to believe that God really loves you? By the way, God is not going to decide tomorrow he doesn't love you anymore, no matter what we do. Now, when someone cares about us, you know, if you have the love of a parent, you know, and that, does that make you want to go out? Yeah, that's right. My mom and my dad, they love me. And that's right. No matter what happens, they tell me all the time, no matter what happens, they'll still love me. So I'm going to go out and rob a bank and mom and dad will still love me. Now, that's a pretty selfish, motivated love, isn't it? That's not love at all. But that right there, well, the fact remains, however, if you really love somebody, you want to please them. You want to do what's right by them. Because you know the boundaries that mom and dad give are there because mom and dad love you. Amen. And that, the same reason God gives us boundaries, because he loves us. And he gives us commands. This is, I want you to go into it because I love you. I want you to be successful. Do you know that God wants us to succeed? God isn't holding the success out here or some here. Well, maybe some will make it, some won't. No, God wants to enable you to succeed. The only way you will succeed is by him. Well, do we have confidence, though, that God loves us? And we're like, oh, what is the number one thing that we show the love of God in the gospel to somebody? What is number one thing that people won't get saved? Well, God can never love someone like who? Me. Oh, God can never love someone like me. God doesn't know all about that I've done. Oh, yes, he does. He still loves you. He knows all about the sin. He still loves you. God knows all about the failures. God knows everything. Yet he still loves us. That's amazing. But do we believe that? Do we have faith in that? Do we have confidence in that? What are they saying? We have seen it and we have believed it. We put our faith in it. We see it. We know it. But we believe it. And if you believe something, you act on it. as in any relationship, love is reciprocated. Meaning that we love God, God loves us, so we naturally ought to want to love Him back. Amen. Hope so. Hope that we want to love. You know, there's something wrong, broken on the inside of someone that loves and cares about you, we don't love them back. That's something broken on the inside. And that's the day and age we live in. All people that you show genuine love and compassion and care. But here it is. The word love is thrown around so much today. I was walking through Walmart and one of the big things that the kids are wearing today is called love justice. Right? And they see love this and love that and love everywhere. You know, love is love, right? And we say that Gay Pride Month is a sad, a sick twisting of the word. But all the world defines as love, and they say love, 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 love. You know why they do that? The devil wants to cloud the picture of what true love is. Majority of that isn't love. The love that we see is sacrificial love. The love that people have, that the world promotes, isn't going to lead someone to die on an old rugged cross for your sin. That's not going to lead them there. It's going to leave them, oh, well, as long as you can do something for me, I'll love you. But as soon as you can't do something for me anymore, I'm done with you. That's the world's definition of love. That's what the picture we see, even though they say, well, this is all what we need. And so then we look at, and that's why when people, we talk about love to people, the love of God, we need to define what that means. Because they think, oh, the kind of love that my ex had for me, they loved me until they found somebody else. Oh, I don't want that kind of love. I don't want God. Amen. We have to define it. We used to have an idea of what love meant in our society today. We don't anymore. When divorce rate here at the Ford is 85%, and the majority, a lot of people, they get married just so they can get the benefit of living out of the barracks, and they get divorced as soon as they get out of the military, or they get divorced within 6 months, or as soon as they get deployed somewhere else, their spouse is cheating with somebody else. I mean, that happened. That's a pandemic in this place. Happens all the time. Doesn't matter what unit, what position, whatever. It happens. Constantly. That's not love, and that's what the view of the world has love. So he says, God loves you. I don't want that. And by the way, that can corrupt. If you don't understand the love that God has for us in the Word of God, given to us here in the Scriptures, we can have a lack of confidence. We won't move forward with God at all. We have confidence that God loves us. And if we have this reciprocated love, we have confidence of the sacrificial love that God has for us, we're going to love Him back. We should love God in the same selfless way He loves us. This will grow and grow and grow and creates a cycle of growth. And it does not matter where we are, but we want to be where God is. If you really love somebody, you want to be where they are, right? Like, hey, I'm good with being away from my spouse for 2 years. I'm good with that. Well, that's not love. Sometimes it has to happen because of the military that happens. But guess what? Every day, longing to be with that one person. Like, oh, I'm good with them being gone. Yeah, it's actually kind of nicer when they're away. You know, I don't get nagged all the time or whatever. I'm sorry, that's not a loving relationship. That's not the type of relationship we ought to have with God. If we do not have time for church, if we do not have time for Bible study, then there's something seriously wrong with our relationship. That's why being at church should be something that's not even an issue or a discussion. It shouldn't be a problem. Amen. Because if you love God, you want to be where He is, and He's in this place. The preacher we're talking about, God, the one that we love. So being faithful to the place where we talk about God and we learn more about Him and how to serve Him, that shouldn't even be a problem. That shouldn't be an issue. That didn't used to be an issue not so many years ago. It's like, well, I want to be there. I want to be where God, well, I want to learn more about God. But here it is. We don't have an area of depth. We don't have confidence in the God. We have, first, not an understanding or even a depth of understanding of the amount of love God has for us. Then if we don't understand that, then we can't have confidence in it. Are you confident? Are you secure in God's love today? We look here in 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is the standard of love. God is the definition of love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. What is that saying? If we believe the love and the confidence that God has for us, then we're living where God is at. And then we can have open fellowship. You know why? Because if you have confidence in the love of somebody, you trust that person. You trust them. You listen to them. When they say, hey, would you do this? Absolutely. So if we don't have a confidence in God's love, we're not going to trust Him. So do we have that trust? That brings us to number two. So let's look down at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Remember, perfect is not has the idea of completeness. So getting to the level. If you are confident in that, what is that love going to do? It's going to complete you. What is the word of God for? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's what the word of God is for. So we understand the love of God. Okay, I understand the love that God has for me. That is unconditional love. It's not based on your performance yesterday. Well, if I didn't do well yesterday, I fell into sin, then God's not going to love me today. That's not how it works. It is an unconditional love. And by the way, that love ought not want us to go off into sin. Instead, this is why some people reject this teaching to some degree. Well, this is going to get people to go off into sin. No, what it should do is God loves me so much, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to go that way anymore. I made a mistake, I disappointed my Lord, I hurt the heart of God, I don't want to do that anymore. That's what it should do if we have a proper understanding of the love of God. It's not a license to sin, it binds us closer to Him. A walk of holiness, of righteousness. So if we're secure in that, it's going to create something. Number two, it's going to create boldness in God's love for us. So here, in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Not just any boldness, but boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. So when we have confidence in something, then the more bold we become, right? I hope you understand that as the more you witness, the more bold you become. Why? Because you know God is with you. But we just got to get started. And I just say, when you first start witnessing, it's not pretty. Okay? You didn't want to see me when I first started, okay? And I had one of those people and I had my little New Testament and I went door knocking. I think it was my second week I was lost in the sauce. I didn't know how to be saved. Hey, I knew the Bible. I knew the gospel. I knew those things. I'd grown up in church and the guy that was with, his name was Jeff Neal. Was my floor leader. He knocked on a door and said, "Hey, you know, we're from, Pensacola Christian College over here and Campus Church, and we're just going out around people telling people how to be saved. Would you like to know more about what the Bible says about being saved?" And the lady said, "Well, absolutely. I'd love to hear more about that. Robert, why didn't you tell her all about it?" Like, what? I'm the silent partner, remember? I'm the one here. I'm just over here praying. You know, I'm the one. I've got, and this is for Christian service. You had to do a certain amount of Christian service each week. I was doing it. And because I had to, I thought it was great. People were getting saved and I could just watch it happen. Right? And I was praying, "Lord, be with these people." And this, that, and the other thing. And he said, "Why don't you tell them?" I'm like, no, I don't really know. He goes, "Isn't there no better time to start than right now?" And I opened up. And I went to where the Romans Road was, went to John 3:16, and it was awful. And I got like through a couple verses and he eventually took it over and I was like, "I never want to do this again." He goes, "No, you do that. Do it again next time." And then, that's how I learned. You know, you don't know until you start doing it, right? Don't worry. I don't do that to people when I go out visiting with them. Okay. But, I do kind of push a little bit, and like, you got to get out there and do it. You got to fly sometime. Amen. But the more you do something, the more you have confidence in something, the more bold you become. Amen. Remember when we learned to ride a bike? You had training wheels. Maybe you learned a bike back. By the way, training wheels weren't around 30, 40, 50 years ago. Who's your training wheels? Like, your dad usually, right, held you on the back of the seat. "Okay, it's time to go. Can't do it." Well, either you're going to ride it or you're going to end up in the street with asphalt burns on your face. Okay, it's do or die, right? And we got to do it. And then maybe that's how you learned how to ride a bike. Pastor, that's not very sensitive. I think we need a little more practicality, a little less sensitivity. But anyway, we did that, but you know what? At the beginning, you know, we ever ride a bike, you know, you kind of, you know, you think you got to turn it a lot, you're kind of doing this and stuff, and you're wobbling all over the place. "Hey, I'm doing it!" You're like swerving everywhere and, you know, everything. And, you know, especially with little kids, you know, that they think they have to turn their their handlebars like a long ways. I'll never forget as long as I live, is Caleb was learning how to ride a bike. It was right out here in the church parking lot. It was right before visitation. We had brought his bike from our apartment, and he was riding it, and he was the first time riding it without, no, I think he had training wheels on it. I can't remember. I think it was riding without training wheels, no training wheels on it. I don't know how he remembers this, but he was about right around Philip's age, really, just young, like 5 or 6, and he was riding it, and he's like, "Dad, watch this." And he turned his wheel full 90 degrees. Whap! Right face on the pavement. I mean, like, it was like wham, and his head bounced up. And then he thankfully had a helmet on. And then, you know, usually with kids when they do that, they get up and scream. He did it. He's like laid there. I'm like, and not making a sound. I'm like, oh no, he killed himself. He did something. Yeah, like, but what he had done is he had knocked himself out for about a good 30 seconds. He knocked himself out. So brought him inside, and then he started throwing up. Checked his eyes, you know, one eye is bigger than the other one, so he had gotten himself a concussion. Rushed him up to the emergency room. He was fine, and he didn't remember it happening. He doesn't remember what happened. You remember now? He doesn't remember what happened. He remembers turning his wheel, and after that, he doesn't remember that. It's like whap right in the face, and you know we do it. I was like, son. Why? You know you can't do that with a bike, right? You can't. He said, "Well, I know that, and I never did it again." You know, but as you learn, now you know he rides around. You know, he jumps off of stuff. You know, and he just rides and rides and rides. He sometimes still falls off sometimes, but the more he learned, the more confident he became, and the more confidence you have in God's love and our love for Him, it begins to grow. The more bold you're going to become. More bold to take those steps of faith. More bold to just listen and do what He tells you to do. When that day comes to be, and by the way, when we do that, when the judgment day comes, then we can have boldness. That we don't have to sit there in the day of judgment and cower before God and cower before our Savior and wonder, does He really love me? Did I live a life that was pleasing? I know we're fearful and we're bad, and this is talking about when the judgment day comes, that we can stand there and have boldness, and we can look a gaze upon our Savior's face, to be able to express confidently that I finished my course, I have run the race as Paul did, to be able to stand in confidence and boldness that He is pleased with our life, to have confidence that we will take part with those that we will not take part with those that are lost, to have confidence that we have not lived wickedly. Do we want that? I hope we do, that you can stand boldly before the Lord in the day of judgment, not in arrogance, but in confidence. I know God loves me. I know I love Him, and I don't need to cower and shrink in fear and worry in the day of judgment. I know that my salvation is secure and that I have lived a life that is pleasing to God. Well, by the way, we don't live a life like, well, I hope my life was pleasing. No, God tells us what the pleasing life is. And that we can have the boldness to say, I've lived for God. And I've loved Him, and He loves me, and we don't have to be fearful in that day. To have confidence. Don't you want that type of confidence? Like, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. That's not me. I'm not a very confident person. Right? You know, I'm not a confident person. You know, by the way, to live a life of fear is a terrible life to live. We don't have to live that way. And by the way, what do people say to this lady? Well, just have some confidence in yourself, right? Have some confidence in you. Hey, you are smart. You are wise. Wait a minute. Is that what the Bible says to do? Oh, no. Do not trust on that own understanding. Don't do that. Don't trust your own understanding. Don't trust your own wisdom. But what is our confidence to be? Well, I know who my God is, and I know what He's told me to do, and I know how He's told me to live, and I obey the best way I know how, and He helped me live each day. That's where your confidence comes from. Not living in fear that a lightning bolt is going to come from the sky. We talked about chastening the other week, but you know, chastening comes because He loves us. It's not a lightning bolt from the sky. It's, hey, chastening always comes after God directs you to do something and you didn't do it. God chastens when we know something and we don't do it. We know the boundary, and we don't listen to the boundary. God, Jesus, like, nope, back. You know, let me ask you something. Do you give your children a discipline or a spanking when they didn't know the rule? Do you? No. Why? That's not just. They didn't know. Do you think God does the same thing with us? Think God's just? God warns us. He gives us warning. Amen? He teaches us. We learn. He teaches. He warns. Then He chastens. That's a biblical example of child discipline. You teach, you warn, then discipline takes place after they don't heed the warning. Now, that doesn't mean 20 warnings later or 30 warnings later, because especially if it's something that dangerous. Do you want that type of confidence? 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So if you have that love of God, you're going to purify yourself. You're going to live pure. You're going to live right. Are we perfected in the love of our Lord? And that brings us to number three. No fear in God's love for us. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, and that is the truth. Amen. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is nothing that pleases the devil more that Christians live tormented by fear. Fear that they're going to get to the end of their life and find out that God was not pleased with them when they've done all that they know how to do to live for God. The devil loves to play that fear upon you. To that no matter what you do, no matter what you've done trying to raise your children, that your children are just going to go to the devil and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, the devil loves to prey that fear upon you. By the way, and that's why some parents are like, well, you know what? What's the use of having boundaries anyway? The devil's going to get them anyway. You know, it's just going to be a flip of the coin. Some will make it, some won't. You know, is that the picture we see with Jesus in the parable, that there were 100 sheep and He lost one? And He was concerned about that one? He wasn't planning to lose any along the way. Amen. A good shepherd in the Middle East, if you lose sheep along the way, you lose your job. You're not supposed to lose any sheep along the way. Well, you know, I hope that we don't have this philosophy in raising our kids of acceptable losses, you know. There's going to be some casualties of the war. There shouldn't be any. Amen. And if there are, it is not because of anything you've done. Amen. If we don't know that, by the way, we're not going to be perfect parents. If we don't know what we can do, we prayed for our kids, as we, Brother Brown preached, we built up the hedge and we've taught them right and given them good environment and tried to treat them right and love them right and do all the things right. And they reject, that's on them, not on you. That's on them. And that happens. But it ought not be planned for and like, well, I guess that's just what happens. Are we perfected in the love of our Lord? For number three, there is no fear in God's love for us. This verse, many times we use by itself. Now, it's not wrong. It's not the wrong use of the verse, but perhaps an incomplete use, though. This verse goes along with the verse prior, that we should not be paralyzed by the fear of failure. The fear of God being displeased with us, the fear that we will not be acceptable to God, even though you are doing all that you know how to do, that you are not rebellious to God, but you fear, is still not enough. Here it is. Is the blood of Christ enough to cleanse us from sin or not? We're acceptable to God, remember, not by our own righteousnesses, but by the blood of Christ. If you're living for God and you love Him, by the way, there's so much, I think, sometimes unintentional fear placed in people's lives by preachers. I don't think it's intentional, but I think it gets put there anyway because of a simple misunderstanding. We can have confidence of living for God. By the way, does this mean that we live any way we want, we do what we want? No, we ought to want to do what God desires for us. That's the songs we were singing this morning, that we would think as God would think, and we want what God would want. Is this how God wants us to live? In fear, live in fear of a lightning bolt, live in fear that you'll be disappointed when you stand before the Lord, that you did all that you know how to do, but you'll be disappointed? And that's all you are to God, is a simple disappointment? Well, I'm just going to tell you something. That's not the voice of God speaking to you. Because the voice of the great accuser is the one that says those things. You're nothing but a big disappointment. You're going to be nothing but a failure to God. And your past, your sin, your habits, all of those things, it doesn't matter. You're going to be a failure. It's not true. It's a lie. A big lie. But a lie, can I just tell you, I think a majority of Christians in America believe. That, well, you know what, it was easier back then to be a Christian. It was easier back then. The day we live in, day and age we live, you know, we have so many addictions today that just too strong. I just can't live for God. I know I'm going to be a disappointment when I get there, so might as well just be when I am a disappointment. Right? Ever seen young people do that? And you know what? They're told by their parents that they're nothing but a disappointment, they're nothing but a failure, and then guess what? They're just like, well, since I am, might as well be one. Might as well be what they want me to be. What they claim I am, I might as well be it. And guess what? Too many people are spending too much time listening to the great accuser, listening to the devil, tell them, well, you're just a failure, you're just a nothing, you'll never be able to live for God, and you know, that's right, I'll just believe it. And they live like it. You live like how you believe. But instead, how about you say, no, that's not true. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what my God says to me. By the way, if you listen to the Holy Spirit never tells you that. Holy Spirit tells us that we are His. The Holy Spirit says, God is love. You're loved. You're accepted in the Beloved. When you understand how much God loves you, and that we are walking with Him, then when we get it, when we understand we are perfected in that love, then it will cast out that fear. When you understand. When am I going to understand? When am I going to get it? You understand it right now. You either believe what I'm saying or you reject what I'm saying. Either you believe it or you don't. And perhaps this is a new revelation for some of you. I pray that it is. If it is, praise God for that, then it's something that you are accepted in the Beloved of God. You're accepted by Him. You can't earn your way there. You're already there. And just as we looked at in Sunday school, this builds off of that, that love that God has for you that will never change through eons and eons and eons of time. It'll never change. By the way, He's always loved us. Even in the midst of our sin, He has loved us. That's why He gave His Son, because He loved the world. He loves us. Even if I failed, yes, even if you failed, He loves you. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring you back. Like, oh, well, ooh, well, they've gone too far down the track. I don't think I can help them. Oh, well. You know, acceptable losses, right? Not everybody's going to come. Oh, well. You know, we can even get thinking that way in our soul winning. Well, yeah, he's just one of those that isn't going to come. Acceptable loss. Just people that are going to reject. The love of many shall wax cold, you know. It's just the day and age we live in. And maybe you're not trying hard enough. Or maybe you don't believe that someone will get saved. Have you let cynicism creep in? Oh, it's so easy to let cynicism creep in. Oh, it's so easy. Oh, that's it. Yep, it's the age. We live in the Laodicean age. The love of many shall wax cold, and all the love for God is going by the wayside. Because of the pressures of the day, it's just the way it's going to be. Well, if you look at Romans and you look at the book of Acts, man, they lived in oppression. They lived in a time of great trial, of great tribulation. Their love wasn't going anywhere. Their love was growing. They're turning the world upside down. Because you know what? They knew whatever happened, if they died, they're going to be with God. If they died, they would be accepted and God would be pleased with them. And they said, "What? It's just great. I'm just living for God and loving Him, and whatever happens, it happens." But is it too much for us to give up to live a life for God? Because if you love somebody, you're going to have to say no to someone else, right? That's why we get up on the marriage altar and we say, forsaking all others. That anybody else that wants in on this relationship, they're not getting in. This is a exclusive relationship between two people, a man and a woman, forever. Not till, well, you know what, honey, you got some things going on. I can't accept that. You know, there's a newer model over here. And I'll just go with that one. You know, I did love you. I just don't love you anymore. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. There is a feeling element, an emotional element to love, but it's simple choice. Love is going through the staying committed to someone even when the going gets tough. Love is staying committed to somebody even when maybe they're not treating you the way they need to treat you. Commitment and love is even in the midst of everything else going wrong, you can have confidence in each other. And what happens is if we have that confidence in a relationship, and by the way, it's the same with God. If we have confidence that God is going to be faithful and there for us, are we faithful to Him? That this is an exclusive relationship, that nothing and no one is going to get in the way of this relationship. And I'm definitely not going to listen to the adversary over here, the devil, who wants to destroy my relationship with you. I'm definitely not going to listen to him. But too many times we do. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Does God want us to live? Or just a disappointment? Remember, that's not the voice of God, but the voice of the great accuser. Not the voice of our loving Lord, but of a bitter tyrant who has lost us forever. When you understand how much God loves you, then when we understand that confidence, we get it. We're perfected in that love. It's complete. It will cast out that fear. Not because it's not through ourselves that we're saved. It's not through us that we're pleasing to God. It's through His Son. So this morning, won't you walk with God in love today? Will you walk in that love? Will you have confidence in that love? But maybe let's get something nailed down this morning. Maybe you say, yeah, God loves me, but I don't know why He loves me. You know what? Can I be honest with you? I don't know why He loves me either. Amen. I don't know why He loves me. And all of my failures and all of my problems and all of the things, I don't know why He loves me, but He does. But He does. And by the way, doubting the love of God is the fastest trip to depression and suicide that you can take. If you don't, God doesn't care about you anyway. Well, I guess no one cares about me. Boom. I'll take a handful of pills. No one could even love me. God couldn't even love me. That's a lie. He already does love you. We'll never be worthy of His love, but He loves us anyway. That's why it's unconditional. So this morning, are you confident that God loves you? If you are, I pray that today you let that break in on you today. Let it break into your heart. Have confidence that God loves you no matter what. No matter what happens, not based on our performance, not based on things that we do, but just because of who you are. You're created by Him, and we accept that. But then, if we have confidence in that, then you can begin to build the relationship. You try and build a relationship with God, and you don't have confidence that He loves you, then you're not going to be able to build anything. You're not going to be able to grow. You're not going to be able to have confidence. You're going to be constantly wondering, does He really love me today? Yes, He loves you. He always will. Just accept it. Because it's true. That's where faith comes in. Let it cast out all the fear. By the way, when you do that, it's like, God loves me no matter what. I don't have to be afraid. God loves me. By the way, this gives all kinds of implications. God loves me. And the path that He leads me on will be a good path because He loves me. And the things that God asks me to do, they're good things. They're righteous things. They're not grievous things. He's not trying to ruin my life. It's because He loves me. And the things that He tells me to stay away from, it isn't because He wants to kill my fun. It's because He loves me. And the things He brings into my life, it's because He loves me. And all those things, if we get that, let that break in on us, then we'll look at the life that we live, we'll view it completely different. And we'll say, you know what, this isn't some trial to be endured, but a gift to be enjoyed. Instead of something to be endured, a lesson to be learned, because God loves us. He wants to teach me things. He wants me to grow. This will change the entire perspective of your life. But are you confident in that? And it will only will if the love is perfected. What does that mean? Understood. Have we misunderstood the love of God? He loves you. He always will. Let it cast out all fear, for God wants you, not the person sitting next to you, not the person in the pew in front of you, behind you. God wants you to walk with Him and to live for Him. He wants you because He loves you, not somebody else. Oh, He doesn't want me. Yes, He wants you, Pastor. You don't understand what I've done. I don't care what you've done because God doesn't care. Do we believe that? I'm like, well, Pastor, I don't know if I understand. I don't agree with that. He does care. Yes, there's the judgment for sin, but He loves you anyway. He doesn't care what you've done. He wants to forgive. He wants to cleanse. He wants to set you on the path aright. That's what He wants to do. Will you believe Him? If you will, then ask Him to do that work in your life. Cry out to Him. Tell Him that you believe in the love that He has for you this morning. Come to the altar. Say, Lord, I believe it. I know it. I've known it. All of us know John 3:16. The world knows John 3:16. You talk to people, for God so loved the world, but they don't believe it. They don't understand it. They don't live it. We do. Will you this morning? Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for this morning. I pray, Lord, as we come to this time, Lord, that this precious truth would break in on some people this morning. I praise the day that it broke in on me. In the days that the dark oppression came during COVID, Lord, and a treacherous time, but then this broke in on me, that You love me no matter what. And Lord, I pray that You not let people hear today, that they would no longer allow the devil to be the tape recording of all their failures every single day, day in, day out. That You'd silence that voice, dear Lord, right now. Put a hedge around these people, around their thinking. And Lord, that they would let it break in on them how much You love them. And Lord, that they would want to love You in return. Change lives this morning. Change perspectives. Help us, Lord. We need Your help. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.